Hebrews chapter 13. We'll look at verses 10 through 17. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. May God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. You'll open your Bibles again to Hebrews 13. Glendale Baptist Church is a Bible teaching ministry. Now, when I say that, I am distinguishing it from a preaching ministry. There are those pastors who preach, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with good sermons. But there are also those pastors who are Bible teachers. And I happen to be in that category. And what I do is I take the Word of God, and I hopefully go verse by verse by verse by verse, word by word by word through the Bible. So in the process, we learn. And we grow. And ultimately, as we grow in our understanding of the Word of God, the Word begins to motivate our thoughts. That is, we begin to think the way we think because of the Word of God that's in there. And it motivates our words, how we speak with other people, how we talk, and what we do with our life. Because the Bible says of itself, God says of His Word, that it's a living book. These words are spiritually alive. And when wielded by the Spirit, they can change our life. And that's why I teach it. I just unleash the seeds of the Word of God into our thinking, into our mind. So we're beginning today in verse 10, continuing through the rest of the book of chapter 13. And before we look at verse 10, could we bow together for prayer? Father, it's always my prayer that God the Holy Spirit would be pleased to teach our human spirits that have been made alive because of our faith in Jesus Christ, your living Word. And Father, you've taught me that if we can place the Word strategically in the minds of human beings, that God the Holy Spirit can use the Word to bring about the changes in our life that you want to occur. So, Father, give me the skill and the ability to rightly divide the Word and place it into our thinking to give the Holy Spirit freedom to change us, to make us who you want us to be, each one. And for that, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing in verse 10, the writer says, first of all, we. See that little pronoun, we? That's talking about those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. That is, those people, human beings, sinners, who have at a point in time actually believed in Jesus Christ, trusted Him by faith. They put their confidence in Him. And upon doing that, they're born of God. They're born again. They're regenerated. They have life now, the life of God. So the "we" here is talking about believers, and he says, "We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat." It's an interesting thing. Back in the ancient world, and under the category of the Old Testament, the Jews, under the law, the priests actually lived off of the sacrifices. That is, when they offered a sacrifice, then they used the wool or the skin of that sacrifice for their clothes. They lived off of that sacrifice, and they ate the meat. The Levitical priesthood, they weren't given a portion of the land. They were to live off the sacrifices. So they did. They literally lived off of the sacrifices. But where the writer of Hebrews is going here is, likewise, we live off of our sacrifice. But it's not a physical lamb or a goat or a pigeon or a dove. Our sacrifice is a spiritual sacrifice that's been made by the person of Jesus Christ. We also likewise live off of our lamb. He becomes the resource for our life. Jesus Christ gives us His life. And Jesus Christ feeds our soul. And we are to take Him in spiritually. This is where he's going with this. Watch. He says, those who serve the tabernacle, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Now look in verse 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside of the camp. Now here's what happened. Every year, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the priests would bring two small goats before them, and they would cast lots. And the lot would fall on one goat, who was to become the sacrificial goat, and the other goat would be the scapegoat. And the sacrificial goat was to be killed and his blood taken into the Holy of Holies and put on the mercy seat. They would go through this ritual every year on the Day of Atonement. But then the body of that goat would be taken outside of the city, separated from the city, and the symbolism is separated from all the religious practices of Judaism and burned outside the city. There's a tremendous spiritual principle here. That goat was taken away from all of the religion, all of the ritual, all of going through those motions, which in reality had no meaning after Jesus Christ died. It's beautiful. I pray that you can see this, not with the eyes of your physical eyes, but the eyes of your heart. He says, so this goat was taken outside the city and burned. Now watch. Therefore, here it is, verse 12, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. He was crucified outside the city on a hill called Golgotha. There's a tremendous reason why. He was taken away from all the religious ritual. See, he fulfilled all the law. He was the reality to which all of the symbols within the law pointed to. He paid the sin debt. All of the sacrifices merely pointed to the one who was going to pay the sin debt. But he was taken outside the city, symbolically separating himself from all of the religious ritual. Let me stop right there. Did you know that people fall in love with the ritual? There are people who fall in love with church, with doing church. And they love the singing of the songs and all the rituals that we go through here, but they miss the main point. The church is not the end of ministry. The church is the means of ministry. We're the channel through which ministry occurs. The church is an equipping center. We're to equip people to share Jesus Christ with others. We're to equip each other to love each other and to share our giftedness with each other. This is an equipping center. This is not the end of our worship right here. We don't come to church to do church. We come to church to equip each other to glorify Jesus Christ, to magnify Him. That's why we're here. And that's what's going on here. Jesus died outside of the city. And the idea is he's setting himself apart from all the ritual and all the Judaistic practices, all the legalistic practices that went on in there, because many of the Jews began to love the ritual. And they missed the one who came to die in their place. They missed him. They were so in love with the religion that they missed the person of Christ. They missed their Messiah when he came. They didn't see him. And many didn't trust him. It's a thing of the heart. The Christian life is a thing of the heart. It's a thing of the mind. It's not a doing, it's a being. It's who we are. And we are not only to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, but we're to grow to love Him. Now watch, let's go on. He says, therefore, watch this, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. To go forth to Him symbolically outside of the camp, bearing His reproach. The idea there is, we're to be crucified with Christ. We could say it like this, we're to take up our cross daily and suffer with Him. You know, we suffer with Him when we share Jesus Christ with people who don't want to hear it. We bear His reproach when we talk about people dying and going to hell without trusting Christ and we're laughed at by the world, we become the scourge of the world. We suffer His reproach. We're separating ourselves from religion, right? We separate ourselves from all the ritual and we actually walk with Jesus Christ privately in our mind and we grow to love Him. And in the process, we bear His reproach. We do. When we share the gospel with people, you know, I have a certain fear when I share Christ with others. Inside, I'm thinking, you know, what are they going to think of me? But I have learned that I have to take that reproach. I'll take that scourging. I'll take that rejection. Because that's exactly what He did. And the idea of going outside of the camp is plugging in with Jesus Christ and growing to love Him and serve Him and live for Him regardless of what religion tells us, regardless of what the world says to us. Let's go on. Watch this. It says in verse 14, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." Now watch. Abraham lived his whole life in a tent. God had promised him the land, but he never owned any of it. He walked all around it, and God says, "It's yours. You can claim it." And we teach today that we have a home in heaven. This world is not our home. We're pilgrims and strangers here. But that doesn't mean we don't have a home. We're looking for a city, the writer of Hebrews says, whose builder and maker is God. We're on our way to a city, and we are passing through here. We don't belong here. We're not citizens of planet Earth. We're citizens of heaven. And we're looking for that city four square, that new Jerusalem, that spiritual place where one day it will become a reality to us. We will actually be there. Think of it. That's our home. We're going home. We're not home yet, but we're going there, Bruce. We're on our way. So what the writer is saying, this is a spiritual thing. This whole thing is a spiritual thing. It's not something that you can touch with your hands or see with your eyes, but it's real nonetheless. The writer of Hebrews is saying here, we as believers in Christ need to separate the religious practices and what we do from the person of Jesus Christ. Now this gets better. Watch this. He says, therefore, verse 15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that he is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now watch this. Here we go. As I grow to know more about Jesus Christ, I find this to be true in my own life. I grow to like people that I know something about. What about you? And sometimes the more I know about you, the better I like you. Now, sometimes that's not the case, but not always. When I get to know you, and I've learned this in my life, you know, I can't judge a book by its cover. Some of the most precious people I've come to love and appreciate, they scare you to death when you first meet them. What about it, Michael? But I find you got to get back, you got to get by that external, that first glance, that first impression, and you get into their heart, and you get into their mind, and you find out, man, there's somebody here that's fascinating and fun to be with and fun to be around, and you grow to love them because you know more about them. And you know what? Here's the point of knowing Jesus Christ. That's why I harp on, we got to know him. We got to know something from the Word of God about the fact that he is eternal. The second person of the Trinity always existed. And his incarnation, that's a big word that says, at a moment of time, there was a day that he took on flesh in Bethlehem of Judea. The second person of the Trinity, Jehovah God, became a human being. That little Lamb of God born to the Virgin Mary was Jehovah God manifest in human flesh. There he is. My sin sacrifice, my Savior, is my Creator. He created me. Now he's taken on a body to die for my sin. And I'm to learn about how he took on flesh and how he lived a perfect life, and about his life, about his miracles, from the turning water into wine at the wedding of Cana, all the way through his life, all of his miracles. I'm to be able to get into the Word of God and find out about those miracles. And I'm going to find out about the meaning of his death, how he died spiritually on the cross of Calvary. He died there for my sin, how he was buried, and how he rose again the third day. I'm to know about the resurrected Savior, about the resurrection. And I'm to learn about the ascension, where he ascended back into heaven, and his session. He is seated now at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and I am to cultivate a relationship with him, the person of Jesus Christ. I am to, when I know more about him, as a result, I grow to love him. And I have a longing to see him. And not only that, listen, the more I know about him, the more I grow to love him, it makes me love you. Is that not fascinating? I grow to love you deeply. Those of you who know Christ, we have a bond that the world can't take away. We're part of each other. We're part of the body of Christ. And listen, I grow to love you. And I want the best for you. I want you to know what I know about him. I want you to know him. Not just know about him, but know him. And when you do this, here's what happens. You start to talk about him. Have you ever noticed that you talk about people that you really care about? I want you to know about the things I really care about. And that's true with anything. Now, there's some fellows here that know I like to hunt. And I like to load bullets and shoot and all the other categories of activities that I'm involved in. So I like to talk about that. And there's some guys here that like to talk about music. And we can get together and we don't look for things to talk about. We talk. But here is what I want you to understand. This is where he's going with this. We need to get to the point where we talk about Jesus Christ. When we get together in the fellowship hall, we get engaged about him. We're talking about him. And see, I'm trying to prime your pump, if you've noticed that. I'll engage you sometimes about Jesus Christ and about the Christian life. Because I want you to be engaged. I want you to start talking not just with me, but with each other. Isn't that fascinating? That's where I'm going. That's what I'd like to see happen at Glendale, where we're talking about him to each other. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't talk about hunting and fishing and loading and all the other wonderful things that we are involved in. But we talk about him because we love him. And I know the more we love him, we're going to love each other. And that's exactly what he's talking about. That's how we worship him. Worship is not, listen to me, worship is not sitting in a congregational meeting and raising your hands. That's part of it. That's not worship. Worship is worth-ship. And when he's valuable to you, you want to what? Talk about him. That's worship. When you're talking about him to each other, and you're growing to love him more through each other, and you're feeding each other's soul about him, then he becomes a person of value to you. And listen, as a result, like I said earlier, it makes you love everybody. You just love each other, man. You just want to spend some time with each other. You become precious in the sight of other people here. That's what he's talking about. Let's go on. Watch this. He says, the fruit of our lips, verse 15, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's what he's talking about. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Now look in verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share with share for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Here's another result of growing to know him and love him and being with him outside of the city, outside of the sanctuary, outside of the temple. Here's another result of that, sharing with other people, meeting needs. I've noticed you do that here at Glendale. Every once in a while a need will pop up and you don't go pray about it. You do what? You meet it. You meet the need. I watched it earlier. I don't know. Am I saying it right, Miss Francis? I saw some needs being met. You had a need. You brought it publicly to the body. Man, I'm seeing people meeting a need. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. He motivates us to meet a need. We take care of the problem. There are people in this community who need what we have. But here's the deal now. There's a problem with this because that we are all at heart, we're generous at heart, many of us are, and we want to meet the needs, but their real need, as Michael often says, is spiritual. So when we meet that need physically, we need to tell them about Jesus Christ. We need to give them the gospel. We need to share Christ with them. And we need to let them know that what we're doing because of our personal relationship with him. Isn't that good? That's what he's talking about here. Now watch. Let's go on. Verse 17. Obey those who rule over you. Stop right there. I think it's talking about the elders in the congregation. In our congregation here, we have one elder. And you're looking at him. Now that doesn't mean that you're to obey me when I tell you to go wash my shirts, go clean my house, go wash my car, go mow my grass. That's not what it's talking about. This is a spiritual thing. As I teach you, as you see in the Word of God that what I'm teaching is true, then you're to become obedient. But in reality, you're obeying God the Holy Spirit, not me. Because the Spirit of God is working through me as I teach His Word. And it's really the power of the Word that motivates people, not preachers anyway. Oh, we grow to like preachers. There are certain preachers we like more than others. I know that. We like their personality. We like being around them. We like their talent. But we're to be obedient here. And not only that, read on, look. And be, what's the word? Submissive. You know what that means? That means submit to their ministry. Rank yourself under their ministry. Discover why God has them there. And discover what you can learn from them, what you can glean from them. And submit to their leadership. What's the opposite? Don't fuss with them. Don't fight with them. Don't bring aggressive spirits to them. I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. Don't do that. Don't cause disruption. Find out what you can learn and learn. Receive the benefits of their ministry. Now, the reason for that is God has given us, those of us who stand behind this pulpit, a tremendous responsibility. It's an overwhelming responsibility. And here it is. Let's find out. Watch. For they, that is, those elders, watch out for your what? How do you put a price tag on that? They watch out for your souls. Every time I teach the Word of God, souls are in the balance. That's why I think what I do is the most important job on the planet. Not that I'm important, I'm not. I'm just a clay pot. But God's given me an awesome responsibility to look out for your souls, to watch out for you. As we say sometimes, as the teenagers say, I'm watching your back, spiritually speaking. I'm watching your back. Now watch. As those who must give an account. Here's the deal here. I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ for how I have used this pulpit or how I may have abused this pulpit. I'm going to stand before Him. I'm going to answer to Him, not you. I shouldn't have to fuss with you while I'm here. That's the point of that. I shouldn't have to fight and be aggressive to accomplish what God has for me to accomplish here. I shouldn't have to deal with a bunch of wayward sheep. Now, I'm not saying that because we are. I don't. This is one of the sweetest groups I've ever been a part of in my life. But there'll be some others that'll come here. And this would be good to remember. I'm going to give an account for every word that I say, for every line that I've taught, for every book that I've written. Last line here, look at it. Let them do so with what? Joy. And not with what? Grief. For that would be unprofitable for whom? You. It's not going to profit anybody to do that. Now, I want you to get this whole message in a nutshell. It's easy to understand it. and I'll try to sift it right down to where we live. The best definition in my mind of the Christian life is to cultivate a very close, personal, private, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That is, grow to love Him in time. And the way you're going to do that is you're going to take in God's Word, you're going to memorize it, you're going to meditate on it, you're going to learn doctrine, you're going to study His Word, take in His Word, take in His Word, take in His Word, and you're going to grow to love Him. And when you grow to love Him, you're going to love each other. You're going to love the lost. You're going to want to share Christ with other people. You're going to be motivated to do all kinds of wonderful things. You're going to be motivated to meet needs. That's pretty clear, isn't it? And as much as within you, submit to those who have the responsibility for your souls. Work with them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that you have given us today to open your word and to explain it. And Father, I pray that it's profitable to those of us who take it in. And I pray that to a person here at Glendale, Father, that you would begin to break our hearts, to motivate us to love you, to want to worship Jesus Christ, to be consciously aware of His presence in our life, no matter where we are, to be consciously aware that He is listening to our thoughts, observing our thoughts and our words and our ways, and seek with all of our being to please Him, to magnify Him, to glorify Him, to place His name on display in our lives so that other people can see Jesus Christ in us and other people can see Jesus Christ in our ministry. And Father, ultimately, I pray that you would break our heart toward those who need Christ, those around us who need the gospel, those who just need to hear the facts. Father, I pray that we would work to that end, find ways to get that message to listening ears. Father, I do thank you for the sweet fellowship that we have here, but we know that church is not the end. Church is the means to the end. And help us always to remember that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?